Join Dr. Ed Bulkley right now as we discuss today's subject, contrasting psychology and biblical counseling, on today's edition of Return to the Word. We're so glad to have you with us here today on Return to the Word, and we hope you will stay with us as we talk about this subject, contrasting psychology and biblical counseling. There are a lot of times people will ask, they may not put it in exactly these words, but the thrust of the question is there really any difference between psychological counseling and biblical counseling? It seems to me that you're all trying to do the same basic thing to make people feel better and to function better. Isn't that really what you're after? Well, really, I would differ with that. In fact, that is one of the primary contrasts. It appears to me that that is one of the goals of psychology, is to make a person feel better. Whereas a biblical counselor is not primarily, first and foremost, considering how that person feels about a given thing as to how he is responding to God's word. And sometimes to respond to God's word doesn't feel good. It doesn't always feel good to be convicted by the scriptures. And to have to be confronted with the truth of God's word, we're far more concerned with obedience to the principles of God's word than we are to the transient feelings of a person. So that's one of the contrasts. We're going to be talking about those contrasts today to see if there really is a difference. And then to invite you to call in if you have a comment or question for us. I do want to remind our Denver listeners that tomorrow is our last day in Denver on KPOF. We're looking for another station. It's hard to quickly locate another outlet since we were told on Monday about the change and that we would be off the air after Friday of this week. It's very hard to just go quickly locate another station, and we're hoping to find that a slot available somewhere at some time in the future if the Lord opens the door. But it's not because we're not interested in providing this for you here in Denver. If you would keep us in your prayer, and we're still on, this program still remains on the rest of the stations across the country. We don't want you to think that we're being dropped anywhere else. This is just here in the Denver area, and we're still trying to sort out the reasons behind this kind of thing. I've just got to tell you this. Those of you who have called in, we want to thank KPOF for their having been so gracious to us to allow us to be on the air over these last many months. And they've been very gracious to us, Alden as well. They've been very gracious with the amount of cost that it's been to us. It's been very, very reasonable. And I do want to mention, too, those of you in the Denver region, that though we'll be off the air by way of airwaves, we're still available on the Internet. So you can listen to us if you have a connection on your computer to the Internet. You can listen to us live. You go to our website, returntotheword.org. You can get it live, or you can download it later when you get home from work, if that would be easier for you. And you can play it. You can also order tapes, CDs, if that would be of help to you as well. But as I'm saying, Alden, we want to thank KPOF for allowing us to be on the air with them. No station is ever required to have a given program on. People need to know that. Every station has the right to put the people on that they agree with and that they are involved with for whatever reason. If it's financial, that's a legitimate reason that they can look at. If it's philosophical, they can do that. If they just don't like the way a guy parts his hair or doesn't have hair, as in my case, they have every right to do that. So whatever you do, don't think that any station doesn't have a right to change the programming. And also understand that programming managers have a very, very difficult job to perform, to try to determine what best fits their particular station. So again, we want to say with all of our hearts, we thank KPOF for the time that we've been with them. And we look forward to being back in the Denver area as soon as God allows it, as doors open or shut in the future. We hope we'll be able to bring this back to you live here in Denver. In the meantime, you can listen to us on the Internet. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
Welcome back. Return to the Word with Pastor Ed Bulka. Today we're talking about contrasting psychology and biblical counseling. And Pastor, before we go to our subject, I know that we have had a lot of listeners who've called in and expressed their concern. They're disappointed that we are being taken off the KPOF station. And of course, just again, remind people that we are staying in all of our other stations across the country. But I think it might be important because we've had a lot of people say, well, is there really a lot of disagreement from the KPOF management? And we've the little bit of information that we have would suggest the possibility that maybe the station has received a number of complaints about Return to the Word. We also have indication from them they've received a number of compliments. And I guess, Pastor, I guess the question I have for you, have you become aware of a number of those complaints?
Well, actually, I was not aware of any complaints regarding the program itself, actually. I did hear about one complaint, not from the station, though the station ever made me aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
Heard about it a different way from someone who evidently had written the station, but it had to do with something entirely different. It had nothing to do with the program itself. So, no, I didn't know about it. But again, see, I just have to say in defense of KPOF that it wouldn't matter if they have hundreds of complaints about it or just one. If they personally had a difference of opinion over our content or our philosophy or theology or anything else, they have every right. Mm-hmm. They have every right to take us off. I mean, that's just the way it is, and I want to defend them on that basis.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we have to be fair, and I think that it's very difficult to operate a station. That's very
sure.
hard to maintain a balance in there and to try to have – you're never going to please everybody. I know that. And a station especially, they take a great risk to put anybody on because people are going to get upset mm-hmm. at whoever you have on at some point. So I think we have to be very careful to not be upset. I would say this, if you have a concern, then write your letter and just explain your concerns on it, but do so in a sweet way. Anytime, if you're going to write anybody about anything, don't do it angrily.
Mm-hmm.
Say something, acknowledge the good work that's being done, and compliment them on that. And then if you have a difference of opinion, well, that's fine. You can word that, but do it with respect and kindness.
And, Pastor, this what we're talking about today, contrasting psychology and biblical counseling, that it's very possible that is part of what this issue is all about. And in fairness to this particular station here in Denver, no doubt they do receive complaints when people hear that we take a position that we feel that psychology, we've never said that it never provides any help. We've never said that, tried to make some kind of suggestion that any psychologist out there doesn't have good motives. We don't know those motives. We've never said that they don't do any good. What we have said is we're concerned about what's robbing people of going back to the scriptures. And it's kind of surprising. 50 years ago, this would not have been an issue.
Yes.
Because people then depended on their pastor. They depended on their local church for biblical counseling. So this is really an issue of influence. And we want to be fair to say we're the Davids, hopefully the Davids, playing against a much larger group, groups of people that say, no, we think psychology is really important. So we want to be fair to people suggesting it's more than a battlefield with individuals. This is this is really a critical issue in Christianity today.
Well, it is, and it is true. I don't even know if we're gonna be in the position of being a David versus a Goliath as opposed to a mosquito versus an elephant. You know, I mean, we don't have the resources financially to take on the large psychological groups that just have virtually unlimited resources, and we understand that. Let's talk about the differences in psychology and biblical counseling. I would suggest that the difference between biblical counseling and psychological counseling is not in the description of a condition, but in the cause and cure. Now, let's think about that for just a moment. A psychologist looking at a person who is depressed would describe it and the symptoms. They would talk about the loss of appetite. They would talk about the lack of sleep or too much sleep. There's so many different symptoms that we would look at the same way and say, you know, that person looks depressed, acts depressed, has all of the symptoms of depression. So the description of the problem, we wouldn't disagree with them. Even like, for instance, how about what's called sexual addiction? The psychologist would say this person is obsessed with sex and pornography and the internet, da 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 da. And we would say, you're right. That's, I mean, same condition. A biblical counselor would look at the condition and say, yeah, that's what is happening. But what's the cause and the cure? Marriage problems. A psychologist would look at marriage problems, would define it. You know, they have poor communication. They have very little affection for one another. There's anger in their hearts toward each other. A biblical counselor would see those same things. But he would explain how it got that way differently than the psychologist would, and what to do about it, he would explain differently as well.
Well, Pastor, not too long ago, there was an individual in my office, and he began to explain to me how his first marriage, how it ended. And he told me how he desperately wanted to be able to save the marriage, and he thought that if he could choose a Christian psychologist, that, wow, that really going to help us. He said, you know, the conversation lasted 30 minutes because he said the Christian psychologist looked at my wife and said, do you love him? And when she said, no, I don't, he said, well, there's nothing else that I can do. And I think that's a good example how oftentimes Christian psychology really misses the mark because the psychologist, he not only asked the wrong question, he didn't place the responsibility where it belongs. Hmm. That first of all, Scripture says that we are required to love our husband or our wife. Mm-hmm. Till death do us part. And so just leaving it on the terms of do you like him or not, and then bringing no responsibility to bear on the young woman for leaving the marriage and saying, well, it's over, I can't do anything.
Yes.
Yeah, that's such a contrast in what would happen in a biblical counseling office where the Christian counselor, the biblical counselor would say, well, you know, you have, I understand that maybe you don't feel at this point you love him. The question is, what should you do?
Exactly. And the difference that a biblical counselor would make is to say, what does God's word say about your enemies? How are you to treat your enemies? How do you feel about your enemies? Actually, it's not how do you feel about your enemies, but how are you to treat your enemies? God's word says to love your enemies. Is your husband your enemy? Yes. How are you to treat him? With love.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Amen.
So, I mean, a biblical counselor is going to deal with it differently. So let's look at some of these illustrations and just see, let's contrast how they would handle it. Let's look at depression, because this is one of the most common conditions of life. All of us, folks, every person in this world has moments when you feel low, you feel down. You describe it any way you want. You feel blue, you feel depressed. Jesus himself, when he was in the garden crying out to his Father, if possible, let this cup pass from me, he says, my soul is troubled unto the point of death. That's a good description of depression. So a biblical counselor would describe it that way. So would a psychologist. But how would they deal with the cause? Well, a psychologist often, as medical doctors also, by the way, many times jump immediately to a conclusion that it's chemically based, that the reason you're depressed is because you have a chemical imbalance in your brain. And by the way, there's no real proof of that. There is no psychologist or medical doctor yet who has told his patient you have 78% of your serotonin level. You need another 22%. They can't do that. They don't know. So what they do is they treat the symptom by the drug, and with the drugs, if you seem to feel better, they say, see, we've improved your condition. And that's why I say to you sometimes, look, any drug may have that effect. For instance, cocaine, if a person took a small amount, a controlled amount of cocaine, under a doctor's orders, which they can't do, of course, but if they could, the doctor said, you know, you need a little bit of this, and he felt elevated, he felt blessed as a result of that. Wouldn't it be easy for a person to say, see, this cocaine has really helped me? But did it really help him? I don't think so. A psychologist might look for a hidden or repressed cause for his depression, and he might say, you really don't even know why you're depressed. Let's look at some cause. What was your childhood like? By the way, it's not wrong to get information about your childhood and all that kind of thing. I'm not opposed to that. Sometimes it can be helpful in just understanding the journey of your life. But if you start blaming everything that's happened because of the problems of the past, or if you use it as an excuse for your behavior today, then it's wrong. But often, and we can tell you of so many cases where young women, and by the way, it's so often women who go in for counseling, they're more likely to than men. Men are too proud in many ways. That's one of our major sins. Too proud to go in for counseling. So many times women are the ones going in for counseling, and they're often dealing with depression. And it could be the change of life. It could be the change in circumstances. Their youngest child may have gone off to kindergarten. And they're seeing the passage of time before their eyes, and it happens so fast they can go into a depression. It could be the death of a loved one. You see, there are so many reasons that are not chemically induced, but we can deal with these things from the Word of God. Stay with us. We'll come back and talk about that in just a moment. We'll look at some other illustrations to contrast psychology and biblical counseling.
Welcome back. Return to the Word with Dr. Ed Bulkley. Today we're talking about contrasting psychology and biblical counseling.
Now, with depression, what would a biblical counselor do? Well, first of all, we would want to find out, is there a physical cause for your depression that is related to some hormonal imbalance, something that a medical doctor can actually discern through tests, actual tests, not just some theory, but actually know. Maybe there is a diabetic condition that's developing. Maybe there is a thyroid condition. Maybe there even could be a brain tumor. I mean, there are different things that can cause different things. So we would look for the physiological cause through medical tests. But if nothing comes back, everything is clear, we would look for unbiblical thinking or behavior. What about your child? Alden, let me tell you, I'll give an example. I could get extremely depressed about the fact that my precious Heather is out in Tennessee and with our two little twins, and we're probably not going to get to see our little babies more than once or twice a year, mm-hmm. maximum. Well, that just breaks my heart. I could get so upset and depressed about that if I just focused on that, and I could become angry about the unfairness of, here I've raised her whole life. I've paid for her little dresses and her little shoes and school and college mm-hmm. and all, and some guy comes along, sweeps her off her feet, marries her, and they move to another state. It's terribly unfair, but the fact of the matter is, I thank God that a young man who loves Jesus came and fell in love with her. I'm so glad that
Amen.
A man who loves his family and is so kind to her. So, I mean, it's in the thinking and allowing myself to focus on myself and my wishes. Well, that can lead to depression. Instead, to focus on what does God want in their life. I believe God has a special plan for them, and I don't know what it is exactly yet. But I leave that with God, and I can rejoice. And rather than focusing on my feelings, I want to focus on the blessings of God, and it changes everything. And I believe that that's one of the major causes for depression, is that we have unbiblical, selfish thinking. Well, let's talk about sexual addictions for just a moment, the so-called sexual addictions. Psychology views this as a disease that needs to be treated with sometimes drugs, sometimes therapies that are very, honestly, can be very, very weird, very strange. Biblical counseling views this not as an addiction, but as the old-fashioned term, lust. And God has told us that there is nothing that comes into our life that he's not given us power to overcome through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we would view it as sin, needing to be dealt with the way you deal with sin. That is through confession, well, repentance, confession, restoration, and accountability. Finding someone in the church to be accountable to. Marriage problems. Psychologists, you brought up this illustration. Psychologists would ask, are you incompatible? They would they would look at and say, you know what, there's really no hope for you. You guys are incompatible. Or they would go through personality tests.
Yes.
Are you the right personality type? God doesn't ever imply that one personality type cannot get along with another personality type.
Aren't we glad that all the wonderful couples out there that have had 40 and 50 and even 60 years of marriage together, and in many ways they weren't alike, and yet they demonstrated the power of God's love and the fruit of the Spirit by
yes.
by not only staying together, but allowing God to blossom that marriage and be such an example to many. I'm so glad those tests weren't around when they got married.
Oh, absolutely. And we would view the issue of marriage problems as sin. needing discipleship. We would view it that the closer both husband and wife get to the Lord, the closer they will get to each other.
Exactly.
And we would start on discipleship, teaching in God's Word, rather than trying to go through a whole series of sexual analysis. Let's find out what your sex life is like, and let's try to have some therapy in that area. Folks, you need to understand, if the heart is right toward your mate, sexuality will take care of itself. That's merely symptomatic, and if you're trying to deal with that, you're going in the wrong direction. It needs discipleship. How about chemical issues, like bipolar syndromes, the attention deficit disorders, the obsessive compulsive disorders that people say, well, now these need medication. We have never said that there's never a place for medication. We do say that we think it's rare, far rare, more rare than is being treated that way. We also say that it should be last resort rather than first resort. But we've never said there's never a case for it, but we think they're rare. Psychologists and psychiatrists immediately often leap to the conclusion that there's a neurotransmitter problem, serotonin level or any number of the neurotransmitters. And so the cure primarily is drugs. Let's give you a drug to deal with this bipolar issue, then you'll be okay. ADD, let's give you a Ritalin. OCD, let's give you another. Anxiety, let's give you another. Biblical counselors may realize that there could be a physical component, and if there is, we need to treat it medically. Let's deal with that first. But the cure for this, even if there is a need for some form of medication, a cure, the actual cure is to transform the way a person thinks, to think biblically, to take every thought captive rather than to give in to the ways of the world and to say, well, the only hope that you've got is to be on this drug the rest of your life. Especially when you begin to realize just how dangerous some of these drugs can be. Let me just quickly summarize. Let's just review these two systems that claim to affect change in people's lives. One comes from the heart of God, the other from the heart of man. And you have to decide which system you're going to follow. Psychology has offered an alternative to Christianity with a fully developed system of faith. Christianity starts with the assumption in the beginning, God, the existence of the Creator, while psychology starts with the assumption in the beginning, Bog, I mean the evolutionary theory. Christianity sees man as a special creation of God, made in his moral image, while psychology views man as the end result of billions of years of random events. Christianity believes that the Bible is the inerrant Word of God and the only absolute source of truth. Psychology believes that truth is where you find it, and that man's mind is the final judge. Christianity has a leadership of ministers who preach from the Scriptures. Psychology has a priesthood of therapists who quote one another. Christianity is supported by the tithes and offerings of its disciples. Psychology is supported by fee schedules and insurance payments. The Bible claims to have explanations for man's deepest questions. Where did we come from? Why are we here? And how are we to behave? How can we change? What is our future? Psychology claims to have even deeper answers for these ultimate questions, which can only be revealed by therapists who've had years of formal training. The Bible claims to reveal the motives of the human heart, while psychology claims to explain the unconscious drives of the human mind. Christianity claims that humans can be transformed by the miraculous and mysterious power of God. Psychology claims that it can transform man by helping him to understand, accept, and love himself. The Bible says that man is by nature a sinner, separated from the life of God. Psychology says that man is essentially good and needs to recognize his full potential. The Bible says that without Christ, man is hopeless. Psychology says that man is limited only by his imagination. The Bible says that man is lost and that Christ is the only way. Psychology says it can help man find his own way. The Bible calls sin by name. Psychology says that man suffers from disorders. The Bible says that God's people must not conform to the world. But those who want to integrate psychology with the Bible say that we must counsel the way the world does. The Bible says that each person is responsible for his own choices. Psychology says that each person is a victim of his environment. The Bible says that man can be forgiven, cleansed, and healed. Psychology says we must return to our past, embrace our pain, and explore our inner self. The Bible's answer for guilt is man's repentance and God's forgiveness. Psychology, the psychology's way for healing is that the conscience has to be desensitized. The Bible says that man must crucify self. Psychology says we have to actualize self. The Bible says that our battle is spiritual. Freud says that the battle is sexual. Down through the centuries, without the aid of psychotherapy or innovative techniques, Christianity has produced millions of permanently transformed lives by the liberating truths found in Jesus Christ. In barely one century, psychology has captured the minds of millions with a message that has enslaved mankind to vacillating theories which promote sinful behavior. Psychology points man to himself. The Bible points man to God. That's the difference. We're opening phone lines right now. Maybe you have a comment or question. Give us a call right now. 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. That's 1-888-463-7967. Here in Denver, at least yet today, you can call us at 303-451-LIFE. We'll be right back.
Today in Return of the Word, we're talking about contrasting psychology and biblical counseling, and you can join in our discussion by calling us in the Denver metro region at area code 303-451-LIFE. That's 451-5433. And anywhere else in the country, you can call us toll-free at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. That's 1-888-463-7967.
If you would like a copy of the contrast between psychology and biblical counseling, it's contained in our book, Why Christians Can't Trust Psychology. We'd love to get that into your hands for a gift of $15 or more. And frankly, that book has been used by the Lord to even turn some schools around. There's a school in California now getting ready to add biblical counseling to their curriculum as a result, to a large extent, of this message. So we hope that you'll continue to pray that we can get this message out. We know it's not easy, and we know, by the way, that we cannot compete in any way, dollar for dollar, with the big groups. We just can't. We don't have that kind of money. Let's talk with Betty in Inglewood, Colorado. Betty, how are you today?
I'm doing just fine.
Well, it's nice to talk with you. Go right ahead.
I called the radio station here, KPLF.
Yes.
And they said to write letters to them, not just to call, because letters make a better impression.
Sure.
And also, when you take in the place of the other group that was on before,
mm-hmm.
at this time slot,
yes.
I was really upset.
Wow.
But now I'm upset because they want to take you off. Mm. Because I have learned so much from you and about counseling and stuff that I knew from my husband had a problem with his daughter, and wanted to force him to go to counseling and stuff like this. Ended up, he lost his daughter the whole round. And it still, to this day, they do not have a good relationship.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's all because of the counseling
yes.
that they were given.
Yes.
And so it's like, this is upsetting to us because they want to take you off the air. But this is what KPOF told us
mm-hmm.
to do about that. But that's not what I called for. I
okay.
had a question.
All right.
And I thought, since you're going to go off the air, I better see if I can find out. I have a daughter-in-law
mm-hmm.
who never bonded with her oldest child.
Okay.
She had taken him out of school because they wanted to put him on Ritalin.
Mm-hmm.
So she's now homeschooling.
Okay.
Her son is now rebelling against his mom and tells her that he hates her
mm.
and that she does not love him.
Oh.
And she kind of fuels his fire by arguing back at him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if she would just tell him what she wants to say,
mm-hmm.
let him blow up and get over it. But she just keeps on arguing and keeping it going.
Mm-hmm. Did she discipline consistently when he was smaller, when he was just a little baby?
No.
That's usually yeah. the case. I would say if you want a child to bond with you, you establish discipline early in their life, because that will draw a child to a parent. It does not push him away. But since that's not happened, the best that she can hope for at this point is now to establish some very clear rules and to go back and to talk with him and to say, look, I made some serious mistakes and I want to ask your forgiveness for it. I'm going to try to turn it around. We're going to try to do things biblically from now on. But it's going to be very, very difficult because his little heart is already twisted in that direction, and it's very difficult to unbend a little sapling that's already been, you know, bent in a wrong direction.
Well, now she has two other children.
Mm-hmm.
And the second child, it's very clear to everybody around that that's her favorite child.
Uh-huh.
And it's really hard because this little guy, I mean, he's 12 years old now.
Yeah.
And he can see that, and he can read through it now.
Yes.
To what's going on. And it's like my heart breaks for him, and it breaks for her, too.
Well, you know, Betty, what she's going to have to do, and you might want to just share with her that that's one of the greatest ways to create this kind of anger in a child is to show favoritism. And again, she needs to ask his forgiveness for that. She needs to acknowledge that it's happened, and then she has to work very hard from that point forward in being fair at all times and showing affection for him and showing great love. Even if she doesn't feel it initially, she has to show it in obedience to the Lord, and that feeling can be drawn together if she is obedient to the Lord. It's not going to happen first that she's going to feel the love. She has to act out on the love first. Okay?
Okay.
All right, Betty, thank you for your call, and God bless you.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. I appreciate her call. That's very, very sweet. And we encourage the rest of you, if you have a comment or question to call us about, right now, 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. That's 1-888-463-7967. Here in Denver, 303-451-LIFE. That's 451-5433. And maybe you have a comment or question about this issue of the difference between psychology and biblical counseling. But we'd love to have your insight on this. And maybe you have some other issue that's really heavy on your heart today. Maybe it's not even related to this particular issue. You feel free to give us a call on that.
Pastor, I'm curious if a person, because we admit that the fact that the majority of Christians today are probably saying, I think I would go to a Christian psychologist first.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's my question. If they were to go to a Christian psychologist, what would be the questions at the very least that counselee ought to ask the so-called Christian psychologist?
You know, Alden, people could actually even get a copy of a page that we have with questions that they can take with them to ask a psychologist. But I would ask, first of all, what is your spiritual life like right now? You're not asking them to reveal their sins to you necessarily, but are you a believer in Jesus Christ? I mean, have you accepted him as your personal Savior? Do you believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God, the final authority for life? How often do you read the Bible? Wouldn't that be a question that would shock a therapist? How often do you read your Bible? Are you involved in a Bible-believing church? Do you believe that God can heal a person's heart? Has he given us everything for life and godliness in his Word? How often do you attend church? Are you actively involved in a ministry in your church? If not, why not? Do you believe it's important to be submissive to the spiritual leaders of your church? I mean, these are questions, if you were to ask a psychologist, chances are he's going to usher you right out the door because they're looking at saying, you have no right to ask me these questions. Wait a minute. You're going to be asking me everything about my life, but I don't have a right to ask you. You can ask, if you were uncertain as to the counsel you would give a client, who would you be most likely to consult? Your pastor, a psychologist, a psychiatrist, or one of your colleagues? That's a fair question. We have a series of 12 questions you can ask a psychotherapist. If you want to call and ask for it, we can fax it to you or mail it to you. We'd be glad to get this into your hands. It could be very, very helpful. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You can order a copy of today's program on cassette, tape, or CD by calling us at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. That's 1-888-463-7967. And you can also write us at Return to the Word. Our address is 11500 Sheridan Boulevard, Denver, Colorado, 80020. Pastor, I wanted to mention two books. The first, of course, you're the author, Why Christians Can't Trust Psychology, and another book by Dr. Gary Almy. This is very interesting. It's subtitled The Dangerous Secular Influences That Keep Us From Caring for Our Souls. My wife, Sue, is reading through this at present and just really enjoying it. And Dr. Almy really goes back into the background, demonstrating how in church history this whole idea of psychology is really not a new idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I think both these books would really be helpful to a person with respect to our subject, contrasting psychology and biblical counseling. You can get each of these for a gift of $15 or more, Return to the Word. So that would be a total of $30 if you bought both of them, purchased both of them. But if you'd like to get both of them today, you can call us, and we'll be happy to get these in your hands for a gift of $25 or more to Return to the Word.
It would be very helpful to us as well, so we appreciate every order. Let's talk with Ruth in West Allis. Ruth, how are you today?
Hi, pastors. Real good. I just wanted to share with our listeners that when we seek biblical counseling, we have hope, because
yes,
the Bible is filled with hope.
That's right.
It's not man's philosophy, because they'll say that you have a disease, you can't be cured from this, and you don't give hope, you don't give healing, and you're allowing that person to be slave. The Bible says the truth shall make you free.
Mm-hmm.
And when we see what the truth is by the biblical principles laid down in the Bible, then we will see that, yes, I'm not following God, I need to submit unto His will.
You're exactly right. That's one of the major differences with biblical counseling. Even, Ruth, in calling something sin, some people are very offended when a biblical counselor does that. But you see, that gives hope, because sin is the issue that Jesus came to deal with. That's why He died on the cross, and the Holy Spirit deals with sin in our lives. So it's not negative to acknowledge sin. That's the beginning point of hope.
Exactly, and we are slaves to sin if we refuse to change, or we refuse to have our eyes opened by the Word of God.
Amen, amen. Well, I appreciate that insight. Thank you so much, Ruth.
Okay,
God bless you. You too. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Let's talk with Charlotte in Brooklyn Center. Charlotte, how are you?
Hi.
Nice to talk with you. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I have a strong-willed 10, almost 11-year-old son.
Okay.
And I did discipline him from when he was young.
Mm-hmm.
He may perhaps be somewhat spoiled. I don't know. We don't have a lot of money or anything, but
mm-hmm.
being the firstborn son, he'd be paid more attention to and such.
How many children do you have now?
Two. I have a son, older son, and the one I'm calling about, and
okay.
a daughter.
Okay.
And he did have he did see a psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
For 2 or 3 months, and all the psychiatrist did, it was supposed to be Christian counseling,
mm-hmm.
but he pretty much just listened to him and was trying to build up his self-esteem, but nothing was addressed biblically.
Yeah.
And he was, and it was because he was becoming more aggressive and had an incident at school, which was unusual for him, but
mm-hmm.
because of things that were bothering him that he was depressed about being grounded to his room, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And that building up and then starting to come out.
Well, tell me a little bit about your marriage. How's that doing?
Very good. My husband's very supportive.
Okay. And is he involved in the discipline of your children?
He's involved, but not as much in the upbringing as much. I was usually the one that would have to discipline him more because of his job
mm-hmm.
and stuff, which I would think would be somewhat typical.
Sure. How much time does he spend with the kids?
He's not so much there, obviously, day-to-day because of his job,
yes.
but... When he does have time off, he takes time out with
good,
them.
Good.
And with my son, he's been really trying to do that.
Okay. Well, let's talk about it for just a moment as to what you possibly could do now. First of all, the two of you, your husband and you, need to get together and sit down and plot a strategy, a biblical strategy, together. I mean, you must sit down together and talk this out and really write down what you're going to do about this so that you're united. And here's the reason. Children are so smart, they really are, that if they find any kind of breach between the two of you, they will exploit that immediately. So you have to be on the same page when it comes to discipline. And the father needs to be the primary disciplinarian. They need to know that it's going to be there, and that the discipline is going to be certain. That is, that it's consistent. Whenever he does certain things, it's going to come no matter what. And the mistake that some people make is they give up because a child, especially one who has a strong will like this, is going to keep trying until they can wear you out.
That's what I feel like he's been doing.
Yes.
It becomes a power play, and I notice that between me and him.
Yes.
We'll start arguing, and I've been trying to remove myself from that because I realize what's happening, but emotionally it's still taking a toll on
me. Sure it is. Well, it's a war of the wills, and the parent, if you want to protect this child for the future, you must win it at all costs. You have to win this war.
It seems to be getting worse.
It will get worse.
Yeah.
It'll continue to get worse if you don't win it now, and it's going to be harder at age 10 and 11 than it was at age 8. And it's going to be harder at age 8 than it would have been at age 5. So, I mean, it's going to be harder at age 13 than it is at age 10 right now. So now's the time to sit down and say, this will go no further, son. And Dad needs to lay down the law. You need to have him in with a conference with the two of you. You need to sit down and say, son, these are the rules, and they will be followed. And if the son says, you can't make me, that's at the point where the father says, I will insist on it, and I will make it. If he says, you can't spank me, I'll report you to social services, because he's bright enough to do that. I would say, then, son, that may be what you have to do. If you decide you don't want to live here any longer under our rules, that's fine. But as long as you live here, these are the rules that you're going to follow. And then it's up to the father to enforce it and to make certain that he does so. If he throws a tantrum, let him. I would not just let him do it and just ignore it. My mother solved that problem real fast when I was on the floor of the kitchen throwing my one and only tantrum as a child. She found a large glass and filled it full of cold water and ceremoniously threw it in my face, and I was cured instantly. It's the most amazing therapy. But you have to quickly call their bluff and stick with it, and don't let them get away with anything that is not correct. You have to draw the line, and now, because it wasn't done earlier strongly enough, now you're really going to have to do it. It's going to be very difficult.
I guess what's been kind of hard is I sense in him an inner anger of that, and that's what I'm not sure how to handle, an inner defiance or anger that he has.
It can be both. It may be defiance, it may be anger, but it doesn't matter at this point which it is, and I'm not sure he'd be able to verbalize that to you. You can ask him what he's angry about, and if there are any legitimate points that he's angry about, confess those. If there's any sin against him, confess it, get it right. But you must teach him Ephesians chapter 6, where it tells us immediately that children are to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. And you can show them that this is the first commandment with a promise. And you can tell him, son, we love you so much, we're not going to allow you to do this. You can take him to Proverbs, where it says, don't be a willing party in the death of your child by not disciplining him. And you can say, we are so concerned about you, we are going to discipline you. It will not be pleasant for any of us, but son, believe us, we're going to win this one.
It sounds like what he really needs to know through this also is that we really love him and that we really...
Oh, absolutely. If he doesn't know that, that's where you've got to put the two of these together. If discipline is going to be effective, it's got to, first of all, be loving. Secondly, it has to be consistent. Lastly, it has to be firm. All three of those elements, but if he has any question that you love him, then that needs to be settled. But don't let him use that as a tool. Mommy, I don't think you love me. I would say, son, I love you so much, but I don't love your behavior, and I'm not going to tolerate it another moment. Be very firm with him. All right?
Yeah.
All right, sure. It's not going to be easy, I know, but you're going to have to stick with it. Talk with your husband, sit down, write out the rules, be sure that you know what you want, what you're going to achieve, be sure the rules are fair, that they're consistent, that they are biblical. All right? And if you need help on that, we have some books on that that you can call and get information about.
Okay, well, thanks a lot.
All right, Charlotte. God bless you. Bye-bye. Well, Alden, I've got to tell you, we are so blessed to have the privilege of sharing this message again and again across the country by way of radio and the Internet. And we take that stewardship very, very seriously. Again, those of you who are in the Denver region, we are going to miss you, and we hope that you will listen to us on the Internet, and you can pray with us that God would open another door for us, another station. In fact, if you want to help, you might even call some of the other stations in the area that have talk shows, and you might encourage them to allow us to come on the air with them. But I must tell you this, it comes down to the fact that God has opened doors and shut doors, and we're content with that. We'd like to invite you to visit our church sometime. If you live in the Denver area, it's very easy for you to find at 115th and Sheridan Boulevard in Westminster. We have ministries for every age, and we'd love to share that with you. You can find a church that honestly believes that God's Word is enough to deal with every issue of the human heart. We believe with all our heart that we don't need psychology, we need God's Word. And we hope that message, at least over the last couple of years, has come through loud and clear to you, and that before you jump onto the psychological bandwagon, you'll think it through very, very carefully.
Well, Pastor, I was just thinking, before we conclude today, just I appreciate so much Charlotte's call. And again, we want to say thank you to all of our callers. They do such a wonderful job of helping us with this program. And I was just thinking how different a psychologist answer might be to Charlotte. Instead of saying, you know, he needs to be held responsible, they would probably try to figure out some trauma back when he was 2 and 3 years old. And so many times what that does, it just delays people all the longer when this time is so critical.
Alden, what they need to realize is that every little child is a little sinner. He's not a good little child that somehow went bad. All of us are bad little children when we're born, and we're following our nature. The way to transform that is to become born again through the power of Jesus Christ and the working of the Holy Spirit. Again, to all of our listeners here in Denver and across the country, I want to say to you, thank you so very much for listening to us.
Mm-hmm. And I'll add my thanks, and you can order a copy of today's program on cassette tape or CD entitled Contrasting Psychology and Biblical Counseling by calling us at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. You can also write us at Return to the Word. Our address is 11500 Sheridan Boulevard, Denver, Colorado, 80020. God bless you. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow at the same time here on Return to the Word.
We hope this tape has been helpful for you. You can request a copy of our tape catalog by calling us at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. That's 1-888-463-7967. We have tapes, books, and videos in a variety of subjects. If you would like a copy of our free newsletter, we'd be happy to send one along for you. Call us at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD, 1-888-463-7967. And thank you for listening.